Yeah, and I'm going to turn off my camera just so I don't like look at how my hair looks or something like
that. Right, so we don't get distracted.
Yeah, exactly.
From Recorded Future News, I'm Dina Temple-Raston, and this is Click Here's Mic Drop, an extended cut of an interview we did that we think you might want to hear a little more of. Today, Matthew Page from the London-based think tank Chatham House. He takes a deeper dive into Nigeria's decision to take on the cryptocurrency company Binance.
It's really self-defeating, obviously, but so much of Nigerian government policy over the last 2 or 3 decades has been self-defeating.
Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Adam Fleming from the Global Story podcast from the BBC World Service. We are looking at Lina Khan, the face of the US government's battle to regulate big tech. She's already redefined the way we talk about monopolies. Now she's taking on the likes of Amazon and Meta. But who is she and will she win? The Global Story brings you fresh takes and smart perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Blockchain, NFTs, AI. What does this mean for you and me? I'm Sherelle Dorsey, host of the TED Tech Podcast, where we bring you the latest innovations and biggest ideas in tech. Tech is evolving fast and it affects our lives, from the metaverse to the watches on our wrists. You'll learn why people in AI make good business partners, about our future self-driving robo-taxi, what the next generation of Siri, Alexa, Google looks like, and a lot more. Find TED Tech on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
I'm Dina Temple-Raston, and this is Click Here's Mic Drop. Matthew Page has been watching Nigeria's struggles for years, and so far, he said, they haven't decided to take aim at him.
I'm still kicking, and I've been criticizing them for 2 decades, so, you know,
okay.
That's either a proof positive or, soon to be disproven.
Binance, as you heard in Tuesday's episode, hasn't been so lucky.
Nigeria's launched a criminal investigation into the global cryptocurrency exchange platform Binance.
The criminal investigation comes as the Nigerian economy is reeling with 30% inflation and a 40% decline in the value of its currency in just the first 3 months of this year. But rather than reverse course or maybe tweak their monetary policies, the Nigerian government has instead decided to double down in an unlikely way, by blaming Binance for the state of their economy, and then detaining two of Binance's executives without charge.
These two officials who are being held are essentially functioning as leverage because Nigeria...
Which, Matthew says, isn't exactly a confidence booster for anyone thinking of coming to do business with Nigeria.
The side effect of that is you're scaring off significant swaths of investors who already are going to have to swallow enormous risks and challenges doing business in a country like Nigeria.
The whole episode seemed capricious and out of hand, and then it actually got worse when one of the two detained Binance executives, Nadim Anjawala, gave his guards the slip.
A British Kenyan national has reportedly escaped custody, and Nigeria is reportedly trying to secure an international arrest warrant for him through Interpol.
Whether or not he paid someone or whether or not he took advantage of the sort of Keystone Cops aspect of Nigerian law enforcement and gave them the slip, it's clear that this is an enormous embarrassment for the Nigerian government.
And when Matthew says this, he means all of it. The accusations, the detentions, the escape. And then, if that wasn't enough, an 11th-hour decision to charge Binance and the two executives with tax evasion.
They had already taken a big risk, essentially detaining these individuals, And in a way, it's backfired on them and made them look foolish.
Never mind that Tigran Gambaryan, the Binance executive they're still holding, is a former investigator for the IRS in the United States, or that he's dedicated his entire career to actually finding tax cheats. On the face of it, the charges seem crazy. Even the quickest Google search makes clear that Tigran Gambaryan has nothing to do with Binance's accounting in Nigeria. He's a cryptocurrency tracking guru. He traveled to Abuja to help regulators there track the bad guys. Needless to say, for Nigeria, this is a very bad look.
At what point does the international outcry and the bad press sort of become so cacophonous that it sort of outweighs any potential gains that they could extract from this?
Matthew says any foreign enterprise touring with the idea of investing in Nigeria is going to view the recent events for exactly what they are.
What seems to be, frankly, a fairly straightforward shakedown of a major foreign company.
So what could Nigerian officials possibly have been thinking? Matthew says you just have to look at the math to understand.
In 2022, its debt servicing costs equaled the total of all government revenue. So in other words, the money that came in 2022 to government coffers went right back out to service its debt.
So the Nigerian government desperately needs money, and he says, clearly seems to be willing to go to great lengths to get it.
This detention plays into a broader strategy that the government has pursued in recent weeks, months, and years to put pressure on them in ways that they can potentially squeeze more money out of them or get better deals in terms of the revenue for the government.
This has always been one of the risks of doing business in Nigeria. As we said in the episode, the Transparency International Corruption Index, which tracks the perception of corruption in various countries, ranks Nigeria as slightly more corrupt than Russia and slightly less corrupt than Iran. But Matthew says the Binance kerfuffle may set a new low. Is this case really different because it's involving two executives, or has this happened before?
I think this is rare. I think the circumstances are quite different.
And he says it will likely result in chilling foreign investment that much more.
This will deter investment, and this is why the Nigerian government is so short-sighted.
Which begs the question, why did they decide to roll the dice? They had other options if they genuinely believed Binance was acting unethically.
Why didn't the nation of Nigeria as a sovereign entity, why didn't they sue Binance in a jurisdiction like the Southern District of New York or London or somewhere else where Binance has assets, conducts transactions, where they had a greater likelihood of obtaining some sort of financial settlement?
Well, what's the answer to that?
Well, I think it's because they viewed this as the more expedient way of obtaining a lot of money fairly quickly.
What's crazy about all of this is that Nigeria says it really wants to be seen as a democracy, modeled after the U.S.
And is certainly on paper a democracy which is actually very much a reflection of the U.S. system.
So, how will this all end?
The resolution of this standoff will come down to what concessions Binance is willing to give the Nigerian government and how much money they're willing to pay.
Which is something foreign businesses, who might be thinking about investing in Nigeria, will now have to factor into their decisions. You've been listening to Click Here's Mic Drop from Recorded Future News. It was produced by Kat Schuknecht and Sean Powers. I'm Dina Temple-Ruston, and we'll be back on Tuesday with an all-new episode of Click Here. Have a great weekend.
Looking for more of the cybersecurity and intelligence coverage you get on Click Here? Then check out our sister publication, The Record, from Recorded Future News. You'll get breaking cyber news from reporters in New York, Washington, London, and Kyiv, among others. And you'll see for yourself why it attracts hundreds of thousands of page views every month. Just go to therecord.media.